Well, how in the world are you? All right. That is good. Tolerance and conflict. I'd like to tell you a little story. I'd like to tell you a story about Braden. Braden's in the middle there. That's my grandson. On his right is his Nana, great-grandma. That's because you're Grammy. And to the right is McKenna. Isn't she cute? I'm telling you, she's just so cute, I just want to hug her and squeeze her all the time. But this story is about Braden. And Braden loves to play. He loves to do things. He's a true child. And he's an all boy. That was taken at June's house. June, you recognize that? Yeah, there it is. She told me, we had our grandkids, and we're really sensitive to giving them attention when we have them. And June was having an event at her house. And I said, well, June will come, but we'll probably not stay long because we're going to want to give the kids attention. She said, just trust me. Bring them to my house. Sure enough, it's a virtual huge playground, one thing after another. I was bored with the adults. I wanted to go play on all the stuff you had. Not really. I like being with the adults. But we celebrated Braden's birthday last Sunday. Last Sunday, we went down there Sunday morning. And we took him to a miniature golf place in Portland. And just outside of the place, there's a pirate. Now, when we were down in Portland for my daughter's wedding, we were walking the streets, and we walked by that pirate. And I'm telling you, Braden walked around, way around the pirate. It was dark, you know, give him a break. He was quite frightened by that pirate. So, you know, I'm always pushing him, you know, wanting to lead him through his fears. And so I said, Braden, come on. Come over here and touch the pirate. No. He wasn't sure about that. But I put my arm around the pirate, and finally I coaxed him to come, and there he is. He's got his arm around the pirate. And it, fantastic. So, Ann called Braden to wish him happy birthday on his birthday during the week, this week. And she said, hi, Braden, happy birthday. Do you want Grammy to sing happy birthday to you? He said, yes, please sing happy birthday to me. And she sang happy birthday to him. She's the gentle side of this equation. I have my moments being gentle, but she's a professional. So, after she got done singing happy birthday to him, she said, did you get your gift from Nana and Grandpa? And that's the picture of the person that was reading Peter Pan to him. Did you notice the book, Peter Pan? And so he said, yes, I did. And what did she get you? She got me a T-shirt that said Lost Boys on it. Do you know the story of Peter Pan? So there's some lost boys in this story. And Peter Pan and Tinkerbell are always working to help the lost boys. And then Braden said, after he told her about the shirt, she got me a shirt with Lost Boy on it. And he said, I am not a lost boy. I'm a child of God, and he knows who I am. I'm not lost, and I worship the one true God through Jesus Christ. Now, that's pretty good training, isn't it? So, that's not a whole lot of tolerance, however. I want you to get that picture. I mean, this is the conversation he had as well with his Nana when she called him on the phone and he said, you know, I'm not a lost boy. God knows who I am. I don't like this shirt. Not very tolerant of Braden. But you wouldn't expect tolerance from Braden, would you? In fact, we honor his convictions, don't we? It was interesting to me because Ann told me that when she later talked to her dad and told him the story of what Braden said, her dad said, "That's fantastic." But when she had the conversation with her mother was a little disappointed. Obviously so. She got him the shirt and then told Ann the story about trying to convince him. And, you know, she had difficulty being tolerant. Which brings me to this. And this isn't working. Okay, well. Might be my, oh, I'm on, okay. Well, that's, we got to back up. I clicked it 1,000 times. It's, yeah. It's not very tolerant. Actually, I think that's good. Yeah, that's where we are. Yeah, that's good. Okay. So, it brings me to this. True tolerance is a virtue. It is. Because it originates with God. Nobody is truly tolerant apart from God. But what does tolerance look like? Is it possible for tolerance to be impersonated? Is it possible for us to think that we're being tolerant when we're not? This is what I'm sure of. Given enough time, every single human relationship will require tolerance to maintain health. Everyone. I don't care what relationship you're in. It may be smooth going now, but given enough time, it will require tolerance. So again, what does it mean to be tolerant? Does it mean to allow things to be as they are? Or does it mean to respect others' beliefs or practices, even though you don't share them? Maybe it means to put up with someone or something you don't like. Is it possible that tolerance could involve living within an acceptable variation from what I believe to be necessary for my own health? Well, here's the good news. God's tolerance is on display for us to enjoy by faith and to practice with love. So, let's agree on this. Our capacity for tolerance varies. We don't expect tolerance out of Braden. And I was reminded by my good friend Helgi, there can be biology going on that makes it difficult for a person to be tolerant. That biology can be genetically passed on. That biology can be the result of experiences that the person has had in life. But we don't all have the same capacity for tolerance. Nor do we all develop tolerance in the same way. Let's consider it a little bit more closely. Aspects of tolerance. Oh, I just hit it twice because I'm intolerant. Should I hit it a third time? Point it at the computer. Oh, that helps. Okay. Is it allowing things to be? I find that difficult at times. Now, what I want you to get in touch with is the difficulty in being tolerant. allowing things to be is not easy for me. I don't know about you, but it's not easy for me. In my classroom, for example, when kids are off task doing their own thing, I find it hard to allow things to be. And maybe you think, well, you shouldn't. You're the teacher. You're right. But I was watching my TV while listening to Christian music. And you say, why are you watching the TV? Because I picked this Comcast station where it's Christian music, and I was watching it yesterday, and, you know, they have the artist picture on there, but then they keep running blurbs through. And actually, I wasn't listening to Christian. I was listening to pop. And on came a Taylor Swift song. Are you familiar with Taylor Swift? What a cute little girl she is. She is a little girl, too. And so on came this blurb. Taylor Swift wrote her first big hit while in math class. I wanted to jump out of my chair and yell at the TV, what are you doing, Taylor? Get on task. Taylor's probably pretty glad she wasn't on task with the millions of dollars she's made from that hit. So allowing things to be is difficult, isn't it? But it is often what tolerance calls for us to do. Respecting diversity. Now here, I want to be very careful, but I must wade into this. In this world we live in now, it is particularly difficult to respect diversity. It is. You know that we've had an ongoing argument about whether or not we should build a mosque on Ground Zero, whether it should be allowed. Now, I'm not here to tell you what to think, but I am here to say this. I understand both sides. I understand the people who want to honor those that died. But let's be clear about something. All kinds of people died. They weren't all Americans. There were people who were in this country for various reasons and in that building. There was mostly Americans. They weren't all Christians. There were Buddhists. There were Hindus. There were New Agers. There were irreligious people. There were Muslims. So that's a fact. I'm just telling you the facts. And I want to be tolerant enough to be able to honor the Founding Fathers' principle that we should not have a state religion. Now, we honor that here. You know why we honor that here? Because we believe in religious, what, you tell me the word. Yes, liberty or freedom. Because as soon as we become a state religion, as soon as that happens, there will be all kinds of difficulty being a Christian. If it's a state religion, it will be very difficult to be a Christian. You say, that doesn't make sense. No, it makes perfect sense. Because the God we love honors freedom and only works with us through that freedom he's given us at a great cost. Don't you love him for that? I love him for that. And he wants something from us that he knows he can only get if he allows us to be free. What does he want from us? He wants love. That's as simple as we can make it. He wants love. He doesn't want good behavior. He wants love. Love is so far greater than good behavior. It's just so far superior. Because if he's looking for good behavior, how do we define that? That's the only way we can define it. It's love. So here's what this may be crazy, but I think this. I think it would be good if somebody would propose, hey, listen, let's do a joint endeavor. Let's build a mosque and a Christian church right next to each other. In fact, let's let them share the same building. Same kitchen. You know, I'm not telling you what to think, but I do think this. If they could get themselves together and be tolerant enough with each other to listen to each other, they could do that. That would settle everything, wouldn't it? Okay, now what's happened? Your startup disk is almost full. It's an apple, he says. Jerry? Oh, here, it's back now. Your startup disk is almost full, still on there, but... Okay, well, we're going to go on. The next one is enduring dislikes. It's hard for me to endure my dislikes. It's hard for me to be tolerant. Living within boundaries. It's hard to live within boundaries. We need to establish boundaries for ourselves. Our tolerance sometimes needs to help us to understand when to speak and when not to speak. Right? So, why is it possible to practice tolerance like this? And I'll get the rest of those on there. Do you want me to click or do you want to click? Okay? So it's possible for us to be practicing all those things and not be truly tolerant. It is. It's possible for you to make good effort and maybe even do some of those things on your own human strength. It's humanly possible to allow things to be, to a degree. It's humanly possible to respect diversity, to a degree. It's humanly possible to endure dislikes, to a degree. And it's possible to establish boundaries and to live within them. But tolerance has an imposter. Now I'm just going through my slides. You'll get them later. Tolerance has an imposter. And its imposter is apathy. It looks like tolerance, but it is not tolerance. If you are apathetic, which means indifferent, which means you don't register anything. You have indifference towards it. You don't care about it. You're apathetic toward it. It doesn't bother you. You've just checked out of the game. And I see many people that have checked out of the game. I see them in all walks of life. They've checked out of the game. And they think they're being tolerant. And oftentimes, what they get marked by is cynicism. They've checked out of the game, but they've every once in a while got a negative commentary on it. So, next slide if you can. It's easy to be tolerant of the principles of other people if you have none of your own. I want to repeat that because that was a slide and that you need to chew on. Herbert Samuel said this, it is easy to be tolerant of the principles of other people if you have none of your own. That's not tolerance. Tolerance, G.K. Chesterton said, is the virtue of the man without convictions. Tolerance is the virtue of the man without convictions. That's not tolerance. Why is silence or apathy such an inviting substitute for tolerance? If you're going to keep operating, that's good. I'm good with that. You willing to do that? You're doing a good job. True tolerance views conflict as opportunity. That's why it is easy for us to be silent and apathetic and think it's tolerance. Because if you really understand what true tolerance is, it has to view conflict as opportunity. I mean, that is the way of God. an issue. He doesn't withdraw. He moves in. He sees an issue. He doesn't see a defeat. He sees opportunity. He builds on all of our trials, all of our suffering, all of our issues, all of our conflicts, our opportunities for him. He is speaking to us most in those. Yet we in our human nature don't find it easy to view conflict the way God views it, as opportunity. So, true tolerance, okay, stay right there. True tolerance is slow to speak, but not afraid to speak. True tolerance does not always remain silent, but it speaks always from security with empathy. True tolerance is never motivated by fear, so it is free to move toward diverse thinking. I want to give you the biblical picture, one of the best biblical pictures that I know of true tolerance. And this is from the Message Bible, and we read it earlier. Even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Now, let's stop right there. Paul said that. And the beginning of tolerance is freedom. It's freedom from any expectations by anyone. It is only when you are living in that space. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you live in that space constantly? I don't. Is it good news that we have a God whose love for us is not determined by how constantly we stay in awareness and presence with him? It is not. What we find when we come to receive him is that the very opposite is true. He loves us unconditionally. There are no strings attached. You cannot kill that love. There is nothing you can do to stop that love. When you accept him and receive him into your heart, that's what you receive. That's what you're saying yes to. You're saying yes to a God who is love. Is that good news? I mean, that is great news. But along with it is the God who says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more what? Abundantly. He says, if you live in awareness of my presence, you will experience an abundant life. You will experience tolerance. Why? Because you're free from the judgment of any person. And I can tell you, people are making them all the time on you. You are making them right now on me. It's okay. Debbie, I will not embrace your statement that the standard is high. I will embrace the first part of your statement. This building makes me a better preacher. So, I think what it really does is makes you all more comfortable and like to be here. But Paul had the secret, didn't he? He said, I have to be free. I have to be free if I'm going to be tolerant. And when you're not free, you're not able to be tolerant. Now, let me put that the other way around. When you discover yourself being intolerant, take a clue. There's something in the heart connection not going on. There's something wrong in your heart. It's not a salvation issue. We took that off the table. God takes that off the table when we receive him. But he does want you to have more abundant life. So when you're not being tolerant, you can take a clue and say, look, God, I'm sorry. I want a more abundant life. I want to be free, and I want to be tolerant like you. Now, look at what Paul's picture was. In order to reach a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I mean, is that a picture of tolerance? I didn't take on their way of life. You see, here's our danger. When we are not free, we think if we're in association with somebody doing something that we don't like or isn't in our radar or isn't even what we believe a person who is appreciates the love of God and has the love of God in their hearts would be or do or whatever, then we say, we are often shifting from that place of awareness of God and we're saying, I can't be tolerant of this. I can't be tolerant of this. And sometimes I think it's because we still live under the expectation of God, where God says, don't put that on me. Don't put that on me. God says, I told you I love you. Let me love you. That's the solution. Just let me love you. And then when you let me love you, you can love the people around you. You can be in the presence of swearing and cursing. And you don't have to run from it. You don't have to judge it. You don't have to condemn it. You don't have to protect God. He's in that person. He's in that person speaking to their heart. We shouldn't be focused on the behavior. We should be making connection in the heart. And that's what Paul is saying. I didn't take on their way of life just because I was present with them. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. Isn't that beautiful? I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. The most important thing when we're in contact with another human being is that we should be loving them so that they know they are loved by somebody greater than us. They are loved by God. And we can only love them if God is in our heart loving them. Right? I did all this. I did all this, Paul says, because of the message. I didn't just walk. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. Listen, there is a tremendous distinction there. We can talk about Christianity, and I tell you, we will talk about Christianity till the cows come in, and we will not convince people that Christ is the answer. When he says, I wanted to be in on it, he says, I wanted to be doing it. I wanted to be doing love. I wanted to be doing salvation. I wanted to be doing the work of God. I wanted to be doing it. I wanted to be in on it means I want to be doing it. You are wanting to be doing it. When you're intolerant, you aren't happy. You simply aren't. And then it's a clue to get back to what makes you tolerant. Get back to God. Where is he? Right there. Inside. Okay? This is huge. It is the mark of a free mind. A free mind, like Paul talked about. It is the mark of a free mind to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. Now, you need that. You need that because healthy relationships are marked with tolerance. Why? Because I'm perfect, but my wife is not. So if you just shape up and listen to everything I say and do what I say, everything will be smooth. Neither of us were there. And often, if you come into our house, you may see neither of us being tolerant. Healthy relationships are marked with tolerance. Why? Because it creates true community. It is easy to occupy the same space. It requires effort to keep our hearts together. Isn't that true? Now, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. True community will experience agreement and disagreement. Do you agree? That was a trick question. I hope you all agree with that. It is in the process of connecting in our disagreements that new ways of connection are found. I don't want you to let that slide by. It is conflict that creates growth. It can happen no other way. But if we learn to be tolerant and be present with each other when we disagree, God can do wondrous things. God can bring about things we never dreamed of. That's what He loves doing. So, we don't want to be labeled because being gay or being black or being a rapper or being a redneck or being alternative or being liberal or conservative or Christian or Muslim or any label has only separated us. We do those labels for our convenience, let's face it. But if we're opting for our convenience, I suggest to you today, we are not opting for God's way. So, it separates us. The labels separate us. The labels put us in boxes. It is time to embrace our differences, not focus on them. We need to embrace our differences long enough to establish common ground that we can all stand in. All stand in. I want to conclude this way. Next step. Here's a picture of what we should be doing. For Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Next slide. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. If we are going to see people the way God sees people, we must reject seeing them only physically. We will see them physically. Things come out. Things hang on to them. Some of the things we see are wonderful. Some of the things we see we don't like. That's true. That's true for every human being. But this we must agree on. What we see is not nearly as true and real as what we don't see. And that's what God sees. That's what God sees. So, we no longer regard people in that way. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, you think about it. When they were seeing Him on this earth, they were seeing Him in a worldly way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Let me tell you, it's good news and it's bad news. The good news is you know where love is. That's good news, isn't it? The bad news is you know where love is. You can't be happy when you're not in that love. That's the bad news. and you know it. But you know the way back. You know where love is. And you know how fast you can be back there. Praise God for that. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Didn't we just say that? Yes. He said, don't tell a lie about me. When you are trying to live with me based on expectations you think I have for you, you're not doing this. You're not believing this. You are not living this way. He does not count our sins against us. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We, therefore, are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us, I would say, in us, to others. That's the ambassadorship that we are called to. Isn't that good news? Lord, first of all and most of all, thank you for your tolerance of us. You won our hearts because of your tolerance. And you continue to call us back to our hearts with your tolerance and your constant love. We want to live in that love so that we can be love to other people. That's the good news. That's the gospel commission. And I pray that each one of us this week will take these words, these considerations to heart, and will listen better to you speaking to us always, so that we can be tolerant of others and thereby help other people get a picture of who you are and who you are in them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have a great day.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people.